It's been 90 years since the Soviet-era famine killed millions of Ukrainians in what's known as Holodomor. In marking its Remembrance Day, President Zelensky evoked that imagery of starvation and drew parallels to the darkness and cold Ukrainians are facing right now.
Ukrainians have gone through genocide. Today we are doing everything possible to stop the new genocidal policy of Russia. It is new, but similar to the one that killed millions of people in the 20th century. Step by step, we are creating a system that will stop this aggression, dismantle its consequences, and guarantee long-term security for Ukraine, the whole of Europe, and the world.
Olga Hakova is the Deputy Director for European Energy Security from the Atlantic Council and our guest this morning. Olga, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is it accurate to draw a parallel to the horrors of Ukraine's famine to what's happening today?
So I think if we take a look at the UN Genocide Convention definition, it's very much about the intent to destroy a society as a whole or partially. And if you look at what is happening, what Russia, what Putin is doing to Ukraine right now by freezing out millions of Ukrainians, leaving millions of Ukrainians without access to potable, clean water, access to heat. These are not nice to have services. These are services that are absolutely essential for survival. And we're talking about a huge, huge scale of suffering all across Ukraine because Putin is failing and losing on the battlefield. So he is using this as a technique to terrorize and to hurt Ukrainian morale all across Ukraine, not just limited to one or two cities. So absolutely, it is perfectly reasonable to parallel the two.
17 countries, including the United States, Canada and Australia, have declared the Holodomor as a genocide against the Ukrainian people. Is there an argument to say what's taking place in Ukraine right now is also a genocide? Can we use that language?
Absolutely, 100%. Because if you look at the civilians being targeted, particularly the vulnerable population, that will be exceptionally highly hurt not having access to clean water, not having access to heat. We're talking about people who may have already pre-existing conditions, some kind of sicknesses. And when you look at these environments, it is impossible for a human body to heal when you are freezing to death, when you don't have access to food. So in particularly children and elderly are going to be impacted with this as well. So I think using genocide and the intentionality of what Putin is doing, if you take a look at him targeting specifically energy infrastructure, not military bases across Ukraine right now, and him focusing on that to decimate Ukraine, the way Ukraine transmits energy to its citizens, not just in bigger cities, but all across the country, it is very intentional and it is very clear that it is there to create suffering and to attack Ukrainian identity, Ukrainian culture, and to try to break Ukrainian morale.
The Ukrainian president says more than 6 million households remain without power after the latest round of Russian attacks on Ukrainian infrastructure. What's involved in getting parts of the country back online?
So it's a layered approach. Of course, there's different kinds of equipment that is necessary. When we're talking about low voltage issues and repairing those parts of the equipment, these parts are available somewhat readily across the market, but you also need to get them to Ukraine. Ukraine needs to also purchase them, and there's tremendous expense in doing so. When we're talking about high voltage transmission, that's when things get really tough because it usually takes about a year to 2 years to procure a part that's specific to Ukraine's high voltage market that's different from what is being used across Europe. So these parts are not just sitting readily available. There are some used parts that Ukraine is procuring from former Soviet bloc countries and as well as Asia. But once again, they're extremely expensive. We are talking about millions of dollars and also just the pure procurement challenges of getting them to Ukraine, identifying where they are. And then, you know, doing this as 7 waves of attacks are happening in Ukraine, you also have a labor force that has been working through really tough, impossible conditions of cold and rain and snow working overtime to continuously repair, in some cases, the same stations, the same areas over and over again, seven waves of this horror, and not knowing when the next attack will come.
Does there come a point where you just can't keep repairing?
They have to, because the alternative is millions and millions of Ukrainians having to be displaced. And no one wants that. Ukrainians don't want to leave. They want to stay. They love their countries. They want to stay. But the alternative is, if you don't repair as quickly as possible, then you do have a even bigger humanitarian crisis on your hands, where Ukrainians are going to be looking for other safer areas with access to heat and clean water, and they're going to be looking at European countries. So there is no alternative. The alternative is to provide additional, as much military support for Ukraine to prevent, and air defense to prevent these attacks in the first place. And then if they do happen, to fix them as quickly as possible to minimize the suffering that's happening across the country.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Joining us is Olga Hakova, who's the Deputy Director for the European Energy Security from the Atlantic Council.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.